Real topics. Real discussions. Real hope. This is the Spit Happens Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen of planet Earth, welcome to Spit Happens Podcast. This is episode 2, and we're your host, Tim.
And Brandon.
And this week has been a long one on my end, and it just kind of culminated and ended today with, and, you know, I'll scream it out there and say it, man. We have an amazing church, church family, church body, everything. I mean, just the whole thing, and it kind of ended today. This week ended today on a high note, an exhausted high note. I'm extremely exhausted right now as we're leading into this podcast, but it's been
no
fun.
Excuses.
Yeah, no excuses. That for all you out there listening, that's going to be a lot of what this episode is about. No excuses and entrepreneurship.
So I think we have a title.
Bam.
Something like that.
That one came quick and easy.
Yep.
Usually we mull over that for a day or so.
Yeah.
And then
smart people probably come up with the title first, but we don't.
We're just really creative.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I like to think of myself as a pretty creative person.
Yep.
And you're a pretty intellectual person. I'm not saying I'm stupid, so don't even try to use that.
I'm creative. You're intellectual.
Make
me sound like an idiot in a smart way.
I called you smart. How did I call you? But I'm so confused.
I'm a dull intellectual.
You're a dull intellectual. No, that's what I'm saying. No, because actually, if you clicked into any of the links to any
click
of Brandon's
links.
Blogs or articles or books, I mean, you name it.
I don't have any books yet.
He's pretty creative.
Working on it though.
Well, in the works, but you've actually done small lesson. What was it? The 28 days.
Yeah, you got a little daily devotional.
Yeah,
thing.
So 28. So there's one. It's not.
I did hear from someone today they actually listened to it. Because it's got 4 sessions of audio and then daily prompts. They actually have been doing it.
Really?
And they told me about it. They were like, thank you for that. Appreciate it. I was like, oh, cool. Somebody does listen to it.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like that thing I always say, all the work is worth it if it impacts one person's life.
Uno.
Towards Christ.
Yeah.
Uno. One.
And then whatever person is in Spanish.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. Persona.
Persona? I don't know.
No, I doubt it.
I don't know what that is. Maybe
we can
Google that. Why don't you Google that one?
I don't want to.
No? All right. No. That would require work and that.
Yeah, I'm done working.
So, anyway, the positive, man, I'll tell you what, man, our staff, and Brandon is one of those staff members at the church, is at the Crossing, is one thing that was evident today is the personalities.
We like to have fun.
That are hidden within the business sometimes that you don't, that not everyone gets to see.
Right.
Well, they're going to see it real soon.
Yeah.
Because there's an epic video that's coming on that. But it was fun to see that that side. It was a bright spot because I've been struggling a lot this week. So last Sunday is Mother's Day. And so I was getting ready to go up and do announcements for second service, and I was kind of preparing myself to go up and do this. I got a phone call from Tony, from my wife, and she's like, well, she wasn't talking. I just heard a lot of sounds.
That's never good.
No, and I've had this happen 3 times prior.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she said she was rear-ended. So she was on her way into church. I was there with our other 2 kids. Parker was with her. She was rear-ended. And I had
by a church person.
Yes, that's the ironic thing is she was rear-ended by a pastor's wife on her way to church.
She was running late.
Yeah, she was running.
I think. Right?
I think maybe. I don't know.
Well, here because if she was, that could be a testament to the unfair expectations of the preacher's wife.
Oh,
you could go down that rabbit trail, but we don't know if she was running late.
Is there a hidden agenda in that one? Is there
no?
I'm just saying.
It just came to me.
So, that was the ironic thing because when Tony was by the time I got there, Tony was already taken by ambulance to the hospital. She's got some issues going on she's battling with and was out of work all week.
Well, beyond the issue of you as her husband, beyond
right, that's a huge issue. I don't know how she does it.
That's her cross to bear.
Yeah, right.
One of them.
Take up your cross daily. And she has to do it as soon as she wakes up.
Right.
Looking at me in my face.
Maybe as she's sleeping, like...
I'm actually having all kinds of back problems because she's beating me in the middle of the night. This guy right here.
So she went to the hospital.
Yeah, so she went to the hospital. Parker went with her, and Parker was okay. Tony's got some issues. So we deal with that, and then Elijah ended up, we found out it was like a staph infection on his back. We were fighting with insurance because insurance screwed up. It was a mess, man. It was like 4 or 5 days fighting with them. Tony's in bed rest. And
isn't that the fun thing about insurance? Like, you pay for it, and then when it comes time for them to actually do something with the stuff that you've paid them, the coverage that they've that they've said that they're going to provide, you have to fight with them and prod with them and make sure that they do their job.
Right. It's ridiculous. And what's even crazy about it is the prescription that we're going to go for literally costs almost the same amount as my monthly payment for my insurance. So
that's,
it's like,
awesome.
you gotta be kidding me. And they're like, well, you can pay out of pocket and we'll pay you back. Like, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm already paying you out of pocket.
I don't trust you for that.
So, but dealing with that, I got a phone call from my mom, and I got family member who's battling, fighting for the life right now and stuff. And so it was heavy in dealing with all that. So there's a lot of emotions and stuff. So it kind of culminated into today and White High Pastor Kenny was talking about, as far as, you know, taking up a cross and, you know, dying to ourselves and moving on and stuff. And the worship session was great. And, you know, Jay was really bringing it. The whole crew was today. And so that kind of led into the video, which was a nice break from what was going on. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
It was good comedy. It'll be good. Now it's up to you, Mr. Creative. To bring it all together.
Yeah, there's some video work there. So, and kudos to Brandon's wife, Sarah, because she wrote up the script and stuff and came up with the basis of all the ideas here. So,
yeah. We'll definitely post the video once it's done.
Yeah.
On the page, Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com. What is it? Spit Happens Cast. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's Spit Happens Cast.
Okay. And then you can also do Twitter at Spit Happens Cast as well.
Yes.
So that's where you'll find it.
Yeah. So check those out.
Indeed.
But going with that, man, I tell you what, even with the whole week that we've had, one of the big things, so NF is, Brandon and I are huge fans of NF. If you don't know NF, he's a Christian.
We'll link to him.
He's a Christian man who raps.
Yep.
And he is phenomenal.
He's got skills with a Z.
Yes, Matt Skills, capital Z.
Yep.
Yes, and
both of Tim and I grew up listening to Eminem.
Yeah.
You know, raps really hard, raps about real life. And so going to NF, while a lot of people compare the two, and NF is like right around my age, and he grew up listening to Eminem as well.
Yeah.
But his style of rap, like rapping about real life issues and rapping really hard, it's very parallel. It's like, it's easy to make that transition from Eminem to NF, and then to have NF be actually speaking life into the real stuff that he's been dealing with.
Yeah.
But it allows you to resonate, which I think is where you're going with.
Yes.
With bringing that up. But I totally hear you on that.
Yeah. The resonance there for it. So I've been hooked on this song. So he just released, so NF, we're going to shoot you out there on Twitter and give you some props, because we are huge fans. If you listen, we would love to ever get a chance to talk with you on the podcast, because
that'd be cool.
Your entrepreneurship, and as far as what you do in rap and how you share your life story, is awesome.
And super creative with his music videos.
Oh yeah, it's so awesome.
It's pretty cool. We'll link to some of our favorite stuff of his.
Yeah.
In
so
the
this
show notes.
Well, I'll play this one. This one here, man. I've been listening to it nonstop all week, and it's Oh Lord. It's off his new album, Therapy Session. So it's this one here. It's just. Man, I tell you, it's like, it's got a great melody, but it's just, listen to this.
When I die, I put my ashes in the trash bag. I don't care where they go. Don't waste your money on my gravestone. I'm more concerned about my soul. Everybody's gonna die. Don't everybody live, though?
So that there, man, I tell you what, that's powerful. Powerful stuff. And I've listened to it like crazy, and it just shows there, though, I don't care. Put me wherever you want. Don't pay for the headstone. I care about my soul. Mm. And it's like, man, it's been a long week. Uh-oh.
Did you see that meme?
I just couldn't believe my eyes. It hurt. It rocked my world. It felt so good. It changed my life. I shared it. I liked it. Then people loved it.
What's up with that meme?
What's up with that meme? I tell you what, man, we still laugh every time we hear ourselves. Not because we think we're so funny or anything else. It's just amusing because we're just silly.
Well, we do think it was funny.
I mean, we do think it was funny. Yes. So what's up with that meme? So we had one this week. We shared out on the Facebook page. It was a picture of a dude kissing his girl on the forehead at the beach. And it said, if two people love each other, nothing is impossible except deciding where to eat.
Yep.
Man, I'll tell you, that one's made its round. That's been probably the most popular to date. The Facebook page isn't very old.
It's Spit Happens Podcast, by the way.
Podcast.
Facebook.com.
Okay.
Spit Happens Podcast.
There you go.
Just to be clear.
That's the intellectual one there.
You should like us on there.
Yes.
Because we're likable.
Word. So that one there, man, how funny is that, though? It's just like, it's like one of those simple things. Like, nothing is impossible except for deciding where to eat. And it's like the conversation.
It's super true. And it's had 14 shares. That's ridiculous. Because people know that it's true in their lives.
Yeah. The simple thing as far as how it relates, like it's a relatable thing. Yep. I think it's when you take something where you can just kind of turn it and you can make it relatable, something where people can kind of tie in and where everybody has like a
common experience.
Yeah. There's a commonality to it. So everybody wants to join in on it. And, so that meme this week was one that put out there and I thought was really funny. But also with that, like the commonality and like, I'll tell you what, and the other thing too is the other meme is, stress makes you believe that everything has to happen right now. Faith reassures you that everything will happen in God's timing.
Preach.
Those two things out there, man. I'll tell you what, it ties into, because I suck at that. I'm awful at that, man. I want to do everything right now. Let's get it done. Let's move forward.
That's true.
But I'll tell you what, man, there's a 14-year-old kid out there, right?
That ties in well, yeah.
And as far as like trying to wait, be patient, and then also like the commonality of like, hey, where do we want to eat? I don't know. You pick. I don't care. I'm not picky. Oh, no, we're not eating there. Nobody eats White Castle. No, that's disgusting.
Well, you know why wives don't want you to have right. White Castle.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly why that is. So, yeah.
There's an effect.
There is an effect. And it's a rippling effect sometimes.
So what did this kid do?
So this kid, man, so resonating and finding a commonality as far as what people need, but also being patient. So he's 14 years old, man. He's a whiz kid. But, you know, when everybody else is building like Legos, robots, and everything else at 14 or out playing sports, doing everything else.
I don't think anybody does that at 14 anymore.
I don't know. I play Legos sometimes.
I don't even think they, well, yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
I don't think I get what you're saying. Outside either.
Right. Yeah. the change of culture.
But continue. Sorry.
Yeah. You're good. No. Look, so this kid, man, 14 years old, he created a vending machine. And why nobody ever thought about it before is ridiculous. But it was for first aid.
First aid vending machine.
First aid vending machine.
Like a penny for a Band-Aid,
right,
or what?
Right. I mean, how many times you're out somewhere, like, you know, you're just like, it's not that because it hurts or whatever, but like you need to stop bleeding or.
Yeah.
You know.
You need some stitches.
You just need something. Yeah. Yeah. I need some sutures. Let me go over to the Pepsi machine and get a suture. But yeah. So he developed this vending machine and he got offered $30 million to buy out his idea and his plans.
That's a nice chunk of change.
14.
$30 million.
He turned around and said, no.
Hmm.
And now he looked at his business model.
The boy knew what it was worth.
And he said, I want 50.
Yeah.
I want another 20 for it. 50. So, I mean, 14 years
old. Let me almost
old.
Double it to you.
Right?
That's pretty intense.
So he...
What's the rest
of
the story? Did
so
he get it?
He
countered.
So he's countered and he's looking at different things. He said he might consider $50 million for the price of his invention. So he would consider that. But as far as looking at it, so like the Red Med, it's called the Rec Med vending machine.
We'll have to link to that too.
It offers like two product options right now. It's a prepackaged first aid kit for basic sunburns, cuts, and bee stings, which are sold for $5.99 to $15.99. And individually wrapped medical supplies like gauze, pads, and band-aids, which cost $6 to $20. So if you're in need, you know, you've got it right there. So, you know, and selling the machines, you know, like $5,500 per piece per machine and stuff. So like the kid at
That'd be great at like theme parks and, you know, places where people are kind of almost
yeah,
stuck,
oh man, I couldn't imagine how much it costs at a theme park though, because you go to buy a Coke at like King's Island up here and it's
like
$9.
$40 for a Band-Aid? Are you kidding me?
No, you can bleed out.
Just rub some dirt on it, child.
But then on the flip side, so he's resonated, he's taking time, he's being patient. And on the flip side, Wendy's, so everybody out there is crying and looking at gimme. I don't want to move up or change my career or grow or be anything else. I want to sit right here where I'm at, but I want more money and I'm going to complain for it.
Right. So you got people who are wanting to get the minimum wage raised
to $15.
$15 an hour, which the ironic thing is probably a lot of their managers don't even get that.
Well, I know
fast food industries.
I know there are a lot that like they do pay well as far as management wise.
Well, like assistant managers.
But you have to be you have to have a work ethic and a drive to do that.
Right. You're not going to randomly make manager.
Right. So these other guys, man, or, you know, whoever they are, I'm not going to throw a group out there or whatever, but they're crying for more money for what they're doing. So following $15 minimum wage hike and legislations in New York City and California, and then Portland, I think it was Portland, did something different within their own city, and they like raised theirs to 15, but they completely changed their structure.
Interesting.
But Wendy's announced, they said, it's fine. They're going to install self-service kiosks in every one of its 6,000 restaurants.
Of course they are.
Yeah, and they're going to cut their costs because there's just no way, because it's already gone up. But you look at it, like, I'm not going to go to Wendy's and pay $13 for a cheeseburger because somebody wants to make $15 an hour because they don't want to do anything else. So they're going to replace it with machines.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, you got a 14-year-old kid.
Who can't get a job now.
Who is, you got this 14-year-old kid that's literally creating.
He's got plenty of money.
He's creating the thing that's replacing people.
Right.
And like, but that's the thing. You got to rise above to the next level and kind of get up to where you want to be at.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be making 15, 16, 20, if you want to be rich, if you want this, or if you want to have an abundant life, there's a point where you have to make a change. Everybody wants change, but nobody wants to change. And actually that's from, and I've talked about that in No Lord. And I've thought about that all week, like how everybody is like, that was one of the lines in there. Is everybody wants change and nobody wants to change, and you know how
nobody
hard it
wants
is
to do the dishes. I think that was the line. Was it?
Is that what? I don't know.
Maybe
I have to look.
Somebody else said that maybe, but you think about the fact that people are getting going to get replaced by machines, and that's what's going to happen if that actually occurs. But it almost like shows us the reality of the entitlement generation. I saw a video. I think it was D'Angelo Williams, NFL running back.
Yeah.
He was talking about his child playing sports. I can't remember. Maybe she was in track. I think his daughter was in track. She's like 12 years old, and she was racing. And was kind of pulled up, like she was doing really well, and she kind of pulled up at the end and got fifth place. And, you know, first, second, and third got their medals. And then she got a participation medal. And he was frustrated and mad about it because she was excited, like, Dad, look what I did. I got a medal. And he's like, No, you didn't. You didn't earn that. You didn't win. You know, you shouldn't have that. And so he took that participation medal and took it back. Mm-hmm. To the people who gave it to her. And he said, you don't get a medal for just participating. And so what they did was the next two races, she got first and third. So she had that motivation, like, okay, if I'm going to win anything, I've got to actually give my all. And then, oh, there we go.
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
Yeah, what's going on, Brandon? Did you hear about that one thing?
What one thing?
The thing, you know, on the news.
Oh, the news thing.
Yeah. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, we should talk about it.
Let's do it.
Bring it.
Oh, yeah.
The news. All right, so you sent over something. You want to talk about that one, the Sky Pioneers?
Yeah, so I was perusing through the news and found this very interesting article on these, it's called Sky Pioneers, a light aircraft revolution is taking off. So for a, if you have, you know, an extra like $600,000 laying around and you're trying to figure out $699,000laying around. So this kid, maybe he would be interested in getting one of these, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if we become affiliates, we could make some money off of this. But I don't think they have affiliate programs right now. But anyway, there's this company who's creating these piston engine technology aircrafts, which are very small, but they're like personalized aircrafts. They're not like a, you know, you would think of like a personal jet, but they're even right. smaller. It's like, we're getting closer to the age where the common person can have a airplane.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So this one is almost like a, it's basically just like a pod cockpit.
Yeah, it's super
with a
small.
With a tail section and some wings. It yep. is. It's like a super sized jet ski that flies. That thing is pretty cool. I'm looking at that picture now. That's cool. We'll have a link for this one in the.
They even have a foldable seaplane where you can land on the water.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at.
Yeah. Well,
I'm looking at the one here. Yeah.
It's a two-seater.
Yeah. These things are cool, man.
Fits in most car garages and can be towed behind a vehicle for overland transport. And apparently they've received more than 1,800 orders for the Icon A5.
So the A5's base price is $197,000.
Oh, okay. That one's the more affordable.
To $247,000 with additional features.
Yep.
So there is more. 1,800. That is wild. I just want to drive down the street in my minivan with that thing hooked on the back. That'd be sweet.
It's going to be interesting because typically what happens is technology moves faster than regulation and legislation does.
Yeah.
And so these
look at how long it took for them to catch up to drones, which really right. were just like RC planes for how many years, you know?
Right.
Now they just attach a camera to it and all of a sudden it becomes a drone.
Well, and much more long range, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they are remote controlled. I mean,
right.
it's an RC.
Yeah.
Craft.
It wasn't until we started blowing up other countries with remote control planes that became
just,
a problem.
Let's strap some missiles onto this thing.
So, okay, yeah, there was another one. I see what you're talking about, too. It's like the Valkyrie X.
Yeah.
And that's so, that's the higher end one.
Here's the point. If you got some money laying around, maybe you should consider getting your own personal, not a personal jet, but a personal airplane,
yeah.
you know?
Or if you want to make more than minimum wage at $8 an hour, get out there and work for it and develop some stuff like this.
No, you shouldn't worry about that. You just get some signs and protest that you need $15 an hour. I mean that and here's the
I have no idea what we're protesting about, but I made this cool sign.
Right. I need $15 an hour. Here's the thing. If your job can be replaced by a computer, you have some things to worry about. A lot right. of jobs, if you think about it, can be replaced by
computers.
Look at
the manufacturing industry.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like that was the backbone of this nation, and then it was just crippled by
If you
by
do mindless
automation.
Things, you need to consider the fact that we are pursuing so fast a lifestyle, a generation where computers do much of the things we do.
Right.
And so use your brain.
You either need to know how to teach, train, and grow humans, or you need to know how to fix, grow, and work on electronics.
Yeah.
And that's basically the way it's boiled down. And it means you got to put the work in. You got to go learn.
Yep.
And that's what that is, man. These aircraft are cool, though. This is sweet. Yeah, that's what I said. The price starts at $699,000 for the Valkyrie X.
Yeah,
which
so that's
is like
that's
a
four for
person like that.
The,
that one's
more
real cool.
well off people.
Yeah, as if yeah,
it's like the Lamborghini of these things.
Yeah, or the Bugatti, plane.
The Bugatti.
Bugatti. They actually Bugatti's got another car coming out that's going to be faster than the Veyron.
So I wanted to get back to the idea of the participation thing, because I think it's led to the generation that we see who is advocating for a $15 minimum wage, even though they may work in like fast food or something like that, where you're selling like $3 products, and to make enough money to where you can make $15 an hour, that's gonna cause a lot of things to go up in price.
Well, and also you look at things like the fast food job. Working in the fast food restaurant was never designed to be a career forever.
No, it's supposed to be a launching point.
It's
like
where
teenagers.
You start, and then if you're in the management there, it's a launching point for you to move up to higher management. Like it's a platform for you to start out and get experience.
Right. It was never meant to be anything beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're not going to choose the route of going to extended education or everywhere else, I mean, really, it's meant to be a starting off point.
Yeah. But if we continue to give our kids participation medals, they're going to think that they are entitled to whatever they want by just showing up. And for all of you who have a career and you've worked at a job for a while, you know that a job, if you want to do well at it, it's not just a matter of showing up. Like good for you. You've held a job. That's a great thing. Right. Awesome. But it goes way beyond just showing up. And we have to teach our kids that what you get in life is earned. Like if you're not going to strive for it, you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And so this whole participation ribbons, like it started with me when I was a kid, you know, doing like upward basketball where you don't keep track of the score. I was keeping track of the score.
Right. Yeah.
I was keeping track of the score.
I think not keeping track of the score is ridiculous.
Like what else? What other reason are you going to play?
You play a game to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a competition.
I mean, it's fun, but it's fun to win.
Yeah. But we play games to win.
Yeah.
We like to have fun while we're doing it, but we do it because we're competitive.
It's also if you don't keep track of score and if you don't resist giving a participation medal, then you fail at teaching your kids how to fail, how to lose, and how to handle that. Because if you don't understand how to fail, man, when you get into the real world, your first failure is going to be a tragedy, and you're going to have any idea how to handle it.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you won't have the foundation to rebound from it,
otherwise you'll just whine about it. And then
you'll start complaining and crying, and then you'll come back home. I remember Missy Robertson, Robertson family, Duck Dynasty and stuff. She told her son when he got married, and it was kind of almost like not controversial, but it was kind of talked about.
Well, if she spoke her mind, then it was obviously controversial.
Yeah. Well, what she said was, you know, when you're married, you can't come home.
Mm.
And the point was, you need to figure out your marriage within your marriage. And that's a huge thing.
Like, you ain't crashing in the basement.
Yeah.
Bro.
You ain't crashing. Like if you need to come home, you need support. That's fine. But you're not coming home to solve your problems. Mm. You're going to solve your problems within your own home and within your marriage.
Yep.
And that's huge. And that's power. And people, I mean, if you get upset
that's
by
biblical,
that.
Biblical, by the way.
Right.
Someone who shall leave their father and mother and cleave to his wife.
Yeah. Cleave
to his wife.
Yeah.
It's the whole idea of I'm becoming a new family unit where we have to work things out together.
Yeah.
And that this ain't I ain't marrying my wife's parents.
Yeah.
Because if you bring them into discussions and all of this without actually having that discussion together, then you're
compounding
your
the problem
with them.
Yeah, and it compounds the problem, and you've got so many outside opinions that should not be involved.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that never works out, by the way.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't.
No. It just becomes misery. It's just, it is.
Yep.
So, but that, like, that's another thing. Like, when somebody speaks out something that's that powerful, and that has such a good foundation and is biblical, and then they want to argue or say, well, that's just ridiculous. Like, my kid can always come home. You're the problem. You're the problem. If the parent is saying that and everything else, you're the problem. Yeah, your kid can always come home, but for the right reasons.
Right.
Like, if you're saying, yeah, it doesn't matter. No.
Well, it's
you're pacifying. You're creating a kid that's going to go stand on the corner with a sign and cry that they're not getting paid enough.
Well, and it's the same
they choose not to do more.
Who will say, Well, if your spouse isn't making you happy, then leave them.
And now,
here we go.
Coming in the red corner, it's Dad. And over here in the green corner, it's the kids. This is Dad's Corner, and the match is about to begin. Let's get ready to rumble!
Dad's Corner.
Boom.
Bam.
Quick story. Quick story.
Yeah. What do you got?
So I mentioned this last time and about the whole potty training thing.
Yeah.
So since then, it's been a difficulty with, and we've read that this is pretty common amongst kids who are getting potty trained. They go in number two.
Yeah. Dropping deuces.
Yeah. Dropping deuces in the toilet is a little bit of a difficulty to happen.
Yeah.
So
splashdown landing is not happening.
But until today, my wife did some research yesterday and read that, Kyrea would go and kind of like be by herself when she would do the deed.
Yeah.
When she had, diapers on. Well, we thought, well, maybe we should give her some privacy and not just sit next to her while she's on the toilet.
Yeah.
So we did, and we even closed the door today. And okay. She totally dropped an awesome deuce in the toilet. Pretty awesome
deuce.
Epic.
That might be the new title of this episode. Awesome deuce.
It's episode two, so.
There you go.
Episode,
boom.
Yeah, awesome deuce.
Awesome deuce. Epic. Awesome. Awesome deuce.
Deuces prevail or something like that.
Awesome deuce. I think we're going to go with awesome deuce.
Yeah. So that was a big victory.
That's
today,
awesome.
This afternoon. Yeah, all for right. sure.
There
Close
you
the
go.
Door. Give
Close
them some privacy.
I tell you what, man, I like it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
But you know what, man? You always think that you can have privacy in the bathroom. Like, I'm going to go take care of business. I'm going to get on my phone. I'm going to hide. I'm going to sit on the toilet for about 35 minutes.
Bad, wait, bad.
Right? Fingers on. My kids have learned how to unlock the door. So they're
picking locks already?
So they're picking locks. Like, I don't even know what I'm teaching within my household. It must not be good. They're picking locks.
Don't listen to anything he says.
Right, yeah, don't listen to this guy. So, like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I was sitting there one time taking care of business, and Eli... like pick the lock and walk in with a bag of potato chips. Like, what up, Dad? I'm like, dude, get out
of
here.
You want some of these, bro?
I'm like, that's so disgusting. Get out of here.
That's terrible.
Like, you try to get peace, like, but it just doesn't happen. When you got kids, once you get two, three, four, whatever. I got three, Brandon's got two. But once you have multiple kids, peace is a thing of the past within the household. Because you
it
think
ain't happening.
You think you're alone. You're never alone.
Not for a while anyway. You know,
right.
I feel like, I don't know what the age is where they get to the point where they're kind of like, they kind of have some understanding of like, you know, I shouldn't bother Dad right now.
Right.
I don't know what that age is.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet either.
No?
My oldest is 7 and I haven't gotten there yet either. Mm-hmm. But her thing is though,
thanks for the encouragement.
Her thing is she likes to be with the adults. Like, she wants to be an adult.
She is the oldest sibling. So
yeah. And
yeah,
she's
going to roll.
She likes to be in on the conversation. Like, she'll try to spy and be like, just the all listening ear. Like, what's going on? Uh-huh, uh-huh. Like, I'm curious to see like what she actually knows. Like, she's tested out gifted and everything else, but what she actually knows from her spy tactics that she gets from Dad of like sneaking around and like hearing what's going on. That'd be interesting. Like, if walls could talk type thing.
Yeah.
Because kids, man, you never know. Like, they're always around. That's why you got to be so careful as far as like how you talk, what you talk about, where you talk, what situations you get them in. Like, I'm one of the parents too. Like, my kid, like, we took Parker's 5. We took him to see, Captain America Civil War and stuff. And it's not like, it's not because I'm like anti-violence. My kids can't see it or anything else, but I have that open conversation with them. Like, they understand like, okay, that was a bad word. I don't say that. He shouldn't have said that. It was a bad word. And like my sister or my daughter, Emma shit, she had actually called out my brother at one point, like, you're using bad language. Like, you shouldn't. And like, but he came back at her and he told her, he's like, well, your attitude you had isn't very, Christian or whatever. And I told Emma, I said, hey, I'm glad you stood up for what you stood up for, but you better be prepared. Better be prepared for what's going to come back at you. Like, if you're not living right, then you're going to get ridiculed as well. And you need to be ready for that. And she's like, okay, you know, and she gets it, you know, because she's pretty smart. But
yeah, we do those things. Two different strategies, like a polarized strategy, like of parenting.
Yeah.
That you're kind of speaking about is one approach you have, like, let's walk in this stuff together.
Right.
And then address it as it comes up to like mm-hmm. expose them to right. things. Or you have the, like, let's make sure they're avoiding all of these things and then we won't yeah. talk about it. Or maybe we'll mention it, but they won't ever experience it
right.
until mommy and daddy aren't there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who knows what happens at that point.
You know what? Yeah. that's like my biggest fear. Thing. Like if my kids go off to college and if they ever get any type of the stupidity that I was, then I'm going to have to quit my job and spy on my kids constantly because I yeah. know how I was and I was stupid.
Well, with technology, the way it's going,
yeah.
you should be able to spy on them plenty,
yeah.
Plenty
and
easily.
I mean, I say that, but you know, they got to learn. They got to learn on their own. They True. Don't learn. They can't grow. And I'll always be there for them.
The whole
they
learning come to home, fail come, thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you're talking about like walking along. Like, yeah, I do. I live life with my kids.
Right.
We go through this dynamic of parenting childhood together. And it has its struggles because they, especially Emma and Parker now too a little bit, they feel like they have an equalness, mm-hmm. but you have to continually reassure as far as where they're at, the child adult dynamic.
Right.
But that's also like the discipleship model and everything in the ministry, like that's how I am as far as that. Like I'm going to walk through things. That's just, I guess that's just how my personality is like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be right along next side, you know, next to you.
Right.
And I think that that's, you know,
and you're just, kind of yeah. like trial by error on the whole parenting thing. At least I am.
Yeah.
I mean,
we all are. I mean, you can read every book dads. In the world. It's going to be, it's not going to be your situation.
Yeah, you have permission to say, I really don't have any idea what I'm doing. I'm just kind of
yeah.
going with the flow.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have a pretty good idea what I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If I know what I shouldn't
do. And you probably know what you shouldn't do because you've experienced you doing it and be like, oh, crap, I shouldn't
right.
have done that.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what's made me a better father is because of how much I did go through.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I read a story. It relates to parenting. I read a story of this family of four. They the kids were born in, I believe, Toronto, Canada, or somewhere in Canada. And then they moved to America for their parents' work or whatever. And one day the kids were like teenagers at this point. They had a friend over, and there was somebody at the door, and so they were expecting some family or something coming over. The kids were upstairs hanging out with their friends in their room, and they hear this door barge open, and it ain't family, it's the FBI, and they raid the house. And it turns out that their parents, this happened a while ago, like 7 years ago or something like that. It turns out that their parents were Russian spies living in America. And
it's like that show, The Americans.
It actually, they make a point in that article that a lot of what's happening in that show is based on their lives.
Huh.
And their kids had no idea.
All right.
Their kids had no idea that was happening. They had no idea they were Russian. They thought they were Canadian. I mean,
gotcha.
they
recruit
were
those
Canada.
Kids up then for the Americans because they got some skills that they didn't know they have.
Yeah. So I don't know where the status is right now, but
yeah.
they lost their Canadian citizenship. The kids did.
Okay.
And the spies are living in, you know, Russia again. They were actually exchanged like 7 years ago for some of our guys or something like that. It was crazy. Like, it was a crazy story. And, you know, talk about, like, failing as a parent.
Right.
By the way, kids, we're Russian spies.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
I
I have no idea. But that's like, you know,
it's mind blowing. You wouldn't, that's Hollywood. You wouldn't think that, like,
right, but that's real life. That's, right. I mean, yeah, you talk about life. Living in the sin of your parents.
Right.
You know, living as a result of that, because they didn't do anything to lose their Canadian citizenship. According to them, they feel like they're from Canada, because they are.
Right.
But they can't go back.
That.
Because of their parents. Yeah. Dad moment right there. Yeah. By the way, kids.
Hashtag spy fail.
Yeah. Hashtag I'm going to speak Russian. I would if I could. and tell you kids I'm a Russian spy, but I'm not going to speak Russian because I can't.
Yeah.
But that would be cool if I did. Just break out in Russian.
Yeah, it'd be nice and aggressive.
Hey, Putin. What's up, homie?
I'll tell you what, man. That's wild. It's like I found out, like, my family, like, I've always been fascinated with the show Turn, and there's so many things, you know, with, like, Revolution and Knights Templar and all these other things. And I found out I have family ties to, like, all this stuff. But there's one cool one, like, with Turn, I think it was Abraham Clark. The first name gets me every time I think about it, because I only talk with my mom about
Abraham's
it.
Abraham
Warhol, and they call it, so he's the spy.
Right.
So Clark, so like there was a whole arc in that story, I think in like season two, where there were two soldiers.
Well, hold on, I'm in season two.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're talking about the New Jersey. Have you gotten to the prison ship, the New Jersey?
That was season one.
Yeah, end of season one, before season two started.
Yeah, yeah.
That was how it transitioned from season one to season two.
If you haven't listened to Turn yet, or you haven't watched it, you have to check out right now.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. So there was soldiers, Continental Army soldiers, and it turns out that I'm directly related to Clark, who the soldier that was on the New Jersey that was in the show was actually my direct relative. And Clark was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he was also a congressman at the time. And they had told him, hey, give us up who the conspirators are, talking about Washington's spies.
Right.
And he's like, no, he can stay on there. And he wouldn't give him up. And like, so like that whole arc, it turns out I'm directly related. That's my mom's maiden name on that side.
You're famous, so, dude.
I'm not famous.
No, you're famous.
I won't
now.
Claim to be famous, but that's really cool stuff. And
that is cool.
And it's, yeah. So that's awesome stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I wanted to share a little tidbit, cause we got into that story there where it,
yeah,
I thought it was,
Russian spies, Washington spies.
Hey.
I see the connection there.
Bam.
Revolutionary
it
War.
It transitioned.
Bam. Yeah. Modern Cold War. I see it happening right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Look at that.
So look as we close out today, I'm just thinking to myself about the kind of struggles that people are going through all throughout the world. That for us in America, it would be kind of like that with the Russian, like, oh, by the way, your parents are Russian spies. Like the things that are so crazy that we would think it would only be appropriate for a movie.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking to myself, like, how can we be praying for those people who are going through that kind of thing? And what could we possibly do about that? I don't know. Just as like a throw in a little caveat.
Get that. End. Yeah. The prayer thing is a huge thing, because I like when I went through a lot of stuff I went through, I wish I would have known about prayer more, and I didn't. But when you look at what is going on and everything and the stuff we've talked about throughout it with entrepreneurship and, you know, the struggle I went through this week, and you look at whether it's somebody in fast food looking for $15 an hour or somebody who's creating a vending machine who's going to be a millionaire at 14, is stop blaming others and stop using the excuse that my parents or somebody else wasn't there. Because I'll tell you this right now, that's a bunch of bull, because I went through a whole lot of stuff. And if we look at statistics, I should be in jail right now. Start taking ownership and accountability for who you are and what your actions are. And elevate yourself to do something greater in this world. If you want to sit down and cry and that you want something else but not put in the effort, just go on and walk on and look in the mirror. Take a long, hard look. and start doing something that's better, and it's going to make the world better, and that's just going to lift people up.
Yeah, and consider the fact that the only way we can come to Jesus is if we look clearly in the mirror and recognize the sin, the sinfulness in our own lives, and actually turn away from that and look to him. And so it's all related. Look at yourself. Stop trying to blame others. It's not anybody else's problem that you're a sinner and you're condemned to hell without Jesus. It's your problem. And so it's up to you to turn to him.
Take up your cross daily.
Boom.
The world is a battleground. It is today and always has been. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Spit Happens podcast. I hope we shed some light on the struggles we're dealing with today. And if you've got some ideas, topics, or some feedback, shoot us an email at spithappenspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher and on iTunes. Leave us a review or a rating.